Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and I wanted to personally thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Daily in the Word. The purpose of this broadcast is to encourage God's people every day from His precious Word. The message you're about to hear is based on the Bible and will encourage, challenge, and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. I'm thrilled that you are tuning in to listen, and it's my prayer that you will be encouraged by God's incredible Word. Thanks again for your prayers and for your support. May God richly bless you today.
The promises of the Bible and the person of Jesus Christ are more relevant and powerful than ever before. In our series entitled, Hope is Alive, your heart will be encouraged and your perspective renewed as you learn about the hope Jesus came to offer. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. At times, we all face situations that appear to be hopeless. But when viewed through the lens of God's Word and your relationship with Christ, there is always hope. In today's message, you will be equipped and challenged in your walk with God by studying the truths of God's Word. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Eternal Hope.
What would happen in America if we would treat our Bibles like we treat our cell phones? I mean, what if we carried them around in our purses and pockets? What if we flipped through it several times a day? What if we turned back and went home because we forgot it? What if we used it to receive messages from the text? What if we treated it like we couldn't go on without it? What if we gave it to our children for their birthday present? What if we used it when we traveled? What if we used it in case of emergency? I'm just saying, what would happen in America if we treated our Bible like we treat our cell phone? And by the way, with the Bible, there's no dropped calls. The signal's always good. And you see, this morning, if you're going to have an eternal hope, you need to understand the Bible is an eternal book, and it has eternal promises. Now, I want to show you a couple of those promises right now. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now notice the promise here in 1 Peter chapter 1. First, he promises hope. And this is our theme, hope is alive. And our hope is based in verse number 3, upon the resurrected Savior, we have been born again unto this lively hope. Titus 3 and verse 5 says, this new birth is not by works which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I was not born again because I deserved it or because I earned it. I was born again because it is the gift of God by His grace. And He promises us hope. But I want you to notice in particular in this passage that He promises us security. And that's what we're speaking about today. We're speaking about the eternality of our relationship with God. And we're saying that some people wonder, He loves me, He loves me not. But is that God's intention? Notice, please, if you would, there in verse number 5. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, very clearly that every one of us who are kept by the power of God through salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, please notice this security. It says we are kept by the power of God. Amen. The word kept means we are guarded, we are preserved, we are kept. I'm simply saying to you this morning, you don't have to keep yourself saved. It's not something that you have to do or earn of your own. Sometimes we're in relationships and we feel like, boy, if I don't do one more thing right, I'm going to lose this relationship. And we stay in the relationship based upon fear and apprehension. But God says, that's not the basis of my love. My love is unconditional. And I keep you by my power. The word there in verse 5, the word power is the dunamis, the dynamite power of Almighty God. And He says, I want you to know that I'm keeping you eternally. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Did you hear that? Jesus said, no one's going to take my children out of my hand. Jesus said, I'm going to keep you. And I'm telling you this morning, our emotions are up and down, but the scriptures are unchanging. And we have an eternal hope today because hope is found in the Bible. And when someone asks you if you know that you're on your way to heaven, I pray this morning that you have scriptural backing to show why you know that you have this eternal hope in Jesus Christ. But notice, not only is our hope found in the scriptures, but notice secondly this morning, there is hope in salvation. We have hope in salvation. Now, please listen very carefully, because a lot of people go to church who are not saved. Some people go because they're in a custody battle. Some people go because they're overcoming drugs. Some people go because mama said and because daddy said. People go to church for a lot of different reasons. But my friend, being in this church right now will not make you a Christian any more than walking into your garage will make you a car. Any more than joining the Elks Club will make you an elk. You get the thought. It's not about being in a church. It's about being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now notice what the Bible says back in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. We have hope in his salvation. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So this trust that they placed in Christ was based upon the gospel. And we see then that there is hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the gospel is explained, and in your notes you'll see the verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, notice this phrase, and wherein ye stand. This is not about church membership. This is about your standing in Christ, verse 2, by which also ye are saved. Listen, you don't mind if we use Bible terms in church. Are you saved? Hollywood a few years ago made a movie called Saved, and they mocked the term. I'll tell you something, they will not mock that term when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ, at the great white throne judgment. They'll not mock that term. It's a Bible term. Now notice that, if you would, 1 Corinthians 15:1. Verse 2, by which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. Now that's the gospel, my friend. Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again. And Paul says, when you heard that, then you put your hope and faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the hope is found not in teaching people in Thailand how to plant rice, though that's helpful, but there is hope in the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's the most important work of the church, getting the gospel message around the world. There is hope in the gospel. Notice secondly, there is hope in the gift of God. Now, the great thing about the gospel is that it is a gift to mankind from God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Sin separates us from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. Are you saved? Do you have eternal life? The gift of God is eternal life. Notice what it says in Romans 6:23. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Eternal life is not a gift from a church. It is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. My friend, if you're here this morning and you have never accepted Christ as Savior, how I would urge you today to turn to Him and Him alone and receive His gift of salvation and forgiveness. There is hope in this gift. You say, well, I just think I've got to do some more things, and I've got to stop smoking and drinking and cussing and all these things. And those are all wonderful things to stop doing. But you don't have to stop doing those things to be saved. But you must receive Christ in order to be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby ye must be saved. And the only way to be saved is to trust Christ as our Savior. Moody was speaking about the thief on the cross. You remember when Jesus was crucified, there was a thief on either side. One rejected and one received. D.L. Moody said of that thief on the cross, he said the thief had nails through his hands. He could not work for the church. He had a nail through each foot so he could not run errands for the Lord. He could not lift a hand or a foot towards his own salvation. Yet Christ offered him salvation as the gift of God, and he took it, and Christ gave him a passport to paradise because he put his faith in Jesus Christ, who was there shedding his blood on the old rugged cross. Oh, thank God for that. Thank God that in Christ we have salvation. You see, salvation is not something we achieve. It is something we receive. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is hope in the gospel. There is hope in the gift of salvation. And then notice, thirdly, there's hope in the guarantee of the gospel. I like to buy something that's guaranteed, don't you? A lot of times these days, people sell things as is, you know. But God says, when you accept my gift, I've got a guarantee with this gift. Look at it in verse 13, please. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, notice this, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, we're going to study that again in just a moment. But this is God's guarantee. It's his seal. It's the seal of his Holy Spirit that's placed upon the heart and life of a true believer. And God says, once you're saved, I want you to know it's settled, it's sealed. You can know that you're saved. You don't have to walk around wondering, does he love me or he doesn't love me? God says it's a sealed and settled situation. Now think about the words of 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. Amen. Now listen very carefully. If you have to have last rites, or just one more communion, or get baptized one more time in the Baptist church, to hope that you're going to go to heaven, you do not know that you're on your way to heaven this morning. You hope that you might go, but you do not know. You say, Pastor Chapel, Baptists are so just confident about it and brazen about it. It's not, my friend, because I'm a Baptist. It's because God says you can know it. Why don't you go ahead and settle that thing today? God doesn't want you to live a life of insecurity, fear, and hearing the accusations of Satan. He wants you to know. Listen to 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is truth, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You see, there is hope in his salvation. It's hope that is found in the gospel and the free gift of the gospel and the guarantee of the gospel that we can know that we have everlasting life. We're talking today about eternal hope. We're talking today about a hope that will never, ever end. Now notice then, thirdly, if you would, not only the hope that is found in the scriptures, not only the hope that's found in the cross, but thirdly now, the hope that is found in his spirit, in his spirit. Someone that is truly born again has the Spirit of God living within them. And that's not some spooky, sensational concept. It's a wonderful reality for the born-again Christian. Now let's see this again in verse 13, please. In whom ye also trusted, speaking of Jesus, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now I accepted Christ as my Savior as a 10-year-old boy in San Jose, California, kneeling down in my parents' room, and I prayed to accept Christ as my Savior. I was born April 23rd, but I was born again April 5th, 1972. Now, that's the day that I was born again. You may not remember the date, but if you're saved, you'll remember where that took place because it's the most important decision of your life, accepting Christ as your Savior. And I accepted Christ as my Savior, but all I knew at that time was that I was a sinner who fell short of God's glory. Jesus shed his blood for my sin and rose up again. And the Bible says, if you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I prayed to receive Christ as my Savior, and he saved me at that very moment. Now, I did not realize all the ramifications of salvation. For example, I did not know that the Holy Spirit at that moment indwelt my life. I did not know the Holy Spirit sealed me eternally at that very moment. But that is exactly what took place when I made that decision. And I might add, we will spend all of our lives here, and for all of eternity, we will learn and understand and glory in the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll learn more and more of the wonderful love of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says in verse 13, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So we have hope in the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean when it says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? I want to give you three works of the Holy Spirit that take place in your life when you get saved. First, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. The word sanctifies means He sets us apart. We are indwelt and owned by the Lord Jesus, and the sealing or sanctifying is done by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, John 3, you've read John 3. The Bible says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you what? Must be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, there's the physical birth, there's the spiritual birth. April 23rd, 1962, April 5th, 1972. Physical, spiritual. And when you are born spiritually, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. And the Bible says He seals you. It doesn't happen later on, as some have said. Romans 8 and verse 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he is none of his. In other words, you don't get Jesus one day and the Spirit 3 years later with some exciting healing service. No, you receive the Spirit of God at the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. We are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and He sanctifies us at that very moment. We are set apart by His Spirit. Now, what a blessing it is to be positionally set aside, and then we progressively grow in a sanctified life. I heard of a man that was talking to a young lady who wanted to be a member of a church. This particular church had sort of a committee, and you'd go before the committee, and they'd ask you questions to make sure you were saved, and so forth. And so they said to this young lady, they said, now, were you a sinner before you accepted Christ as your Savior? She said, well, of course. She said, I was a sinner. That's why I got saved. They said, well, are you still a sinner? And the lady was a little surprised, young lady. She said, well, I'll tell you the honest truth. Sometimes I feel like I'm a worse sinner now. And he said, well, then, have you experienced any real change since your salvation? She said, I don't know how to really explain this to you, sir, except to say it this way. Before I got saved, I was a sinner running towards sin. But now that I'm saved, I'm a sinner running away from sin. And what she was describing was the fact her appetites had changed, her direction had changed. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passing away, all things have become new. And so the Holy Spirit does that work of setting us apart, and He indwells us at the moment of salvation. Secondly, His Spirit seals us. The Holy Spirit seals us. Now look at verse 13 there in the text, Ephesians 1:13. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of God seals us. Now again, when we're saved, the Spirit indwells us. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? The Bible speaks of the fact that our body is the residing place of the Spirit of God, who is omnipresent. How many of you are thankful He can be with all of us at the same time? All right. Now then, He comes into our life, He sanctifies us, and He seals us. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now let me try to explain that as we finish this morning. In Bible times, whenever somebody purchased an item, the seal was that which was placed upon the document or the item signifying ownership. So when I accepted Christ as my Savior, my heart and life was sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, just as in Bible times, the king or the owner of a company or a business would seal something to say, this is mine, it belongs to me. For example, in the Holy Land, much of the lumber was grown and perhaps still is in Lebanon. And there were forests with cedar wood and other kinds of wood. And they would cut this lumber and they would take it out to the Mediterranean and they would float it down along the seashore until it got down into other parts of the world and other countries. And what they would do is they would wrap that wood with some rope and then they would seal some of those logs with a seal signifying who had purchased it, that it belonged to them until it got to its destination. Hear me today. When Jesus saved you, you were sealed by His Spirit, signifying you belong to Him until you get to your destination. And your destination is not Palmdale or LA, all right? We'll get to that in just a moment. We're talking about eternal hope right now. And so the Bible says that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have eternal security because we have an eternal word, an eternal gospel, an eternal seal from the eternal Holy Spirit of God. His Spirit sanctifies, His Spirit seals, and then finally, His Spirit secures us. His Spirit secures us. Now, look at Ephesians 1:14, please. Speaking of the Holy Spirit seal, it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, if you're a Christian right now, you are a part of the purchased possession. You have been purchased by Jesus. What was the price He paid? His blood. We have been redeemed, Ephesians 1:7, by His blood. Now then, He says, I have given an earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of His purchased possession. And God says that when we are saved, the Holy Spirit is given as the seal, as the earnest, and He will never break His word. And He says it is until the redemption of His purchased possession. He says, from the time you are saved until the time you're raptured off of this planet or the time He calls you home, until that time, you are settled in your security. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of your redemption. I think of a verse that helped me so much to understand my eternal hope. When I was in my early 20s trying to figure all this out and wanting my faith to be resting in the Word of God, not my emotions. And I remember coming to 2 Timothy 1:12, and I share it with you this morning. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. You see, Paul said, I know whom I have believed. It wasn't the Pope. It wasn't some preacher. It was Jesus. He said, I know whom I have believed. Notice, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Remember when the Bible said that we are kept by the power of God? No one can pluck us out of the hand of God. We are persuaded that He is able to keep that which we have committed. In other words, my friends, salvation is all of God. It's a promise that we can trust. It's a promise that we can know. We don't have to keep ourselves safe. We are sealed. It is settled. We have a promise from Almighty God. And our eternal hope is based on these three eternal and immutable principles. Number one, the principle that the Word of God is eternal and trustworthy. Number two, the principle that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the shedding of the blood, and the death, burial, and resurrection is what gives us our hope today. And finally, the third principle is the presence of the Holy Spirit of God who seals us until the day of redemption. My friend, don't go by your emotions like so many Christians who feel saved and they get high on Jesus one day and they're depressed the next day. It's like they're flashing back to their pre-salvation days in their drug culture. Feeling high one day, not so high the next day. God doesn't want you to be a roller coaster Christian. He wants you to know that you have eternal hope that never changes, and that hope is based on His word, on His gospel, and on His Spirit. And if you have never accepted Christ as Savior, I challenge you this morning, I urge you this morning to come and to receive Jesus today so that you might leave this campus knowing your sin debt is paid, the Spirit of God lives within you, and you have everlasting hope, not because you're so worthy, but because God is so good. And if you have accepted Christ this morning, get off the roller coaster and serve God, not because of your emotions, but because of His goodness and grace to you in saving you, shall we pray. Father in heaven, thank You that we can learn of Your truth, that hope is eternal. And oh God, this morning how I pray that You would help each and every person here to apply these truths to their heart as Your Spirit guides and directs. We pray that no one would leave here without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and the sealing presence of the Holy Spirit, that every single one of us would grow in our knowledge of these important matters.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go. Pastor Chappell, along with the Lancaster Baptist Church Choir, orchestra, and media team, will present Glorious Day, a captivating narrative about the life and death of Jesus, on Saturday, April 7th at 6 p.m. and Sunday morning, April 8th at 8:30 or 11 o'clock. We invite you to be our guest and experience Easter like never before. You can find out more about this event when you visit lancasterbaptist.org. On Easter Sunday, April the 8th, we invite you to celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus at Lancaster Baptist Church. Pastor Chapel will share a message of hope and encouragement you won't want to miss. Join us for Easter at Lancaster Baptist and experience the victory, hope, and new life you can have in Jesus. You are also invited to our Good Friday service on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church on Friday evening, April 6th at 7 o'clock. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.